Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 87. Not understanding the full truth about Krishna, each of his wives thought that since he remained constantly in her palace, she must be his favorite wife. They were all entranced by the Lord's beauty and his loving conversations with them, but they could not agitate his mind with charming gestures of their eyebrows or by any other means. Having attained as their husband Lord Krishna, whom even demigods like Brahma find it difficult to know in truth, the Lord's queens were always eager to associate with him. Thus, although each of them had millions of maidservants, they would personally render him menial service. Right? So here's where we see the element of the opulence, or Aishwarya. Right? Because they have millions of maidservants. Yeah, so that we see is a different flavor than in Vrindavan, where then there's a more limited amount of maidservants. Not that there's unlimited pastimes going on, so unlimited, you know, millions and billions of maidservants are there, but in any one pastime there's less, so that the interaction is more intense.
What's the difference in the, we see here, the absorption of the queens thinking that, you know, Krishna's theirs, and then we see the absorption of the gopis and the rasa dancing, and the Krishna's dancing with them. Is there a difference in the quality of that absorption, or is it pretty much the same?
But what do you mean by absorption? What scale are you using?
Yeah, I guess the completeness of the relationship.
Means it's complete in what is functioning within. Because here you have a mix of sweetness and opulence, while in Braj you only have the sweetness. So there's going to be a difference in flavor. But the principle is that they're fully absorbed, then that would be the same aspect. Because that's the whole point of devotional service, that is exclusively about the Lord. That's what prema means. It's just about the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah. Each of Lord Krishna's wives had 10 sons, who in turn each fathered many sons and grandsons. In the womb of Rukmini's daughter, Rukmavati, Prajumna fathered Aniruddha.
Rukmi's daughter.
Yeah, I was thinking, this is not working out.
So when the question was asked, it was about, he was speaking about Prajumna marrying Rukmi.
Yes.
Rukmi's daughter.
Okay. Though Sri Krishna had disrespected Rukmi, to please his sister, Rukmi gave his daughter in marriage to Prajumna, and his granddaughter to Aniruddha. Bali, the son of Kritavarma, married Rukmini's daughter, Charumati. At Aniruddha's wedding, Lord Baladev, Sri Krishna, and other Yadavas went to Rukmi's palace in the city of Bhojakata. After the ceremony, Rukmi challenged Lord Baladev to a game of dice, right? Because it was Baladev who led the Yadu army that you know, defeated all the other kings and everything. And then he said, well, don't worry, I'll take care, right? You know, didn't work out so good, but. In the first match, Rukmi defeated Baladev, whereupon the king of Kalinga laughed at the Lord, displaying all his teeth. Right? So that's a serious laugh, because you have the first level, Rupa Goswami gives 6 levels of laughing, right? So the first level is just a smile, no teeth. Then there's a little bit of teeth. Then there's the full teeth. So we can see it's quite advanced in the laughing department. Lord Baladev won the next match, but Rukmi refused to concede defeat. A voice then spoke from the sky, announcing that Baladev had in fact won. But Rukmi, encouraged by the wicked kings, offended Lord Baladev by saying that while he was certainly expert at tending cows, he knew nothing of playing dice. Thus insulted, Lord Baladev angrily struck Rukmi dead with his club. Don't mess, right? The king of Kalinga tried to flee, but Lord Baladev seized him and knocked out all his teeth. Then the other offensive kings, their arms, thighs, and heads wounded by Baladev's blows, fled in all directions, bleeding profusely, because they were all encouraging Rukmi in behaving improperly with Baladev. Sri Krishna expressed neither approval nor disapproval of his brother-in-law's death, fearing he would jeopardize his young, loving ties with either Rukmini or Baladev. Right? So he just, didn't say anything. Because, yes, this guy deserved it, but then what will Rukmini think? And if he says, no, this is not, then what will Baladev think? So he just kind of, yeah. So that's the point. You have to balance these things. There's not this thing, no, it should all be like this. Even for Krishna, in rasa, you have to make that balance. Shloka Anusharanam, summary of verses, 1 to 6. The intense conjugal attraction the queens felt for Krishna. Krishna made each queen think that she is his favorite. He was not controlled by lust, but was attracted by their pure love. Right? 7 to 9, Krishna's progeny. 20 to 25, Krishna arranges the marriage of his sons and daughters. 26 to 40, Lord Balaram slays Rukmi. Lord Krishna was silent on the death of his brother-in-law Rukmi because he did not want to disturb his affectionate relation with either Balaram or Rukmini. Right? So that's the essential point there, is that he's killed, but Krishna doesn't want to, so he deals in a nice way, just like Krishna or Balaram, because he had a relationship with Duryodhana. He didn't want to take sides, so he just went on pilgrimage. Like that. So you see that this consideration is there. They're brothers, they're best of friends, but still, that's considerations are made. Is that sometimes in consideration of all the different parties, then you have to deal in a neutral way. Because otherwise what I can say is, but Baladev and Krishna, then they're best of friends. Why did he deal like this? Because he has to also balance it with Rukmini. Mm-hmm. Right? So all these things have to be there, yes.
This sounds really political, obviously...
Does it sound political or does it sound personal?
Yeah.
Because everything, all diplomacy is because of the personal aspect. We would use it as negative context when there's some self-centered agenda that's there, right? But if it's simply that's just how you have to deal with all the different personalities, then it's for pleasing them, then how is it a negative thing?
Yeah. For me, personally, this is really difficult to work out with.
Yes, because the point is the what is there's a saying for it. There's it's a modern kind of practice. Very few people do it. Generally, it's only nerds. But this absolute truth.
Yeah, I've got a problem with that.
Yeah, but the thing is it's about relationships, not about the truth. Mm-hmm. We take it that somebody's dealt with us in a wrong way, an untruthful way, so it's truth is the main thing. No, it's the improper dealings is the main thing. Mm-hmm. In other words, that somebody lied, it's that they weren't dealing properly is the problem, not that the lie itself is the problem. Yeah. So if we take the lie itself as the problem, then it's only, this uncovered, unfettered truth. But then if we're going to do that, then, how do you like, is that a new sari? Yeah. How do you like it? Well, actually, I don't. It's kind of this thing over here and this and that. And the way you wear it, like that, because it's touching on this side, but over that side, it's not sucking. We can see that foot over there. And, and the way, and that kind of trolley, I don't like that either. That whole big open back with a little tie thing like that. It's too Bollywood, So, kind of like this is that. I really think it looks kind of stupid. Right?
I do that.
Yeah. And then how does that work out for you?
Really bad.
Yeah. Because that's not. The point is if it's about relationships, it's not about truth. It's about what is appropriate to be said. Because the point is they like the sari, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So that means it's according to their taste. Yeah. They're wearing it to the best they can,
yeah.
Like that. So then to do that, they put in some effort. Right? Because the ones that put in no effort don't ask you how it looks. Right?
Yeah.
But the ones that ask you means they put in effort. So it means you have to appreciate that they put in effort.
Yeah, that's fine. But from my end, I'm thinking I'm doing them a bigger favor, like as far as the relationship is, if I tell them what...
Yeah, but how does that work out as far as relationship goes?
Yeah, but for them, they get to like improve their thing before they go out and...
Improve their thing
so
is...
I think they might appreciate that. From my end, I think they might appreciate...
But do they?
Well, sometimes.
Yeah, but then how are you saying it?
Yeah.
If it no, looks very it nice, but if you did this, it would look better.
Yeah, I say it really neutrally. I don't say it in like, ooh.
Yeah, but the point is you have to see the person, whatever it is, because you have to go by that person.
Yeah. You it's know? Very tricky.
Yeah, that's the point. The personal relationships are tricky. So Krishna is showing the example. Right? You understand?
Yeah.
So that's why then we follow all those etiquettes, because it pleases Krishna that we make the effort within relationships to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's the emotional aspect that's the main, not the technical point.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore the technical is of value in as much as it supports the emotional content.
Yeah.
Or the relationship content. So you have to see is, how is it working? Is the person becoming inspired? Then you're using the right technique. If they're not, you're using the wrong. Your intent may be that you're trying to help, but if it doesn't help, it's not help.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like that. That's.
I always admire people that know how to do this. Like,
yeah, but it's not political. People may use it politically, but that doesn't mean it's just like people have used knives to injure people. So that means now we get rid of all knives in the kitchen, you know. But I've also heard of people hitting someone over the head with a frying pan, so we shouldn't use frying pans. You know, so the only thing I haven't heard of anybody using as a weapon is actually kind of the pots that they use to cook rice in, you know. Like that, you know what I'm saying? So then that's all we could use, you know? And that's good as long as we don't hear about that, and then we end up with nothing. So then we just have to, you know, take the eggplant, hold the stem on it, and just roast it on the fire, like that. But that's as long as no one uses fire and tried to burn down anyone's house or anything like that. And then, of course, there was the great eggplant revolution of, you know, how you say, 1372. And so then, then there's no eggplants, you know. You know what I'm saying? Hmm? Yeah. That, but then they misused iron, so then we'll just stick with the Little Prince's Planet. I think that one's okay.
Yeah, see, for mental people, this is really difficult stuff.
Yes, but the point is you always have to keep it on. The point, the central point is the relationship.
Yeah.
And so etiquettes are to encourage and maintain relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know what to judge. You have to know actually how the science works. So the more you know, but you always, it becomes easier because of its commonality of the relationship and the experience gained in the relationship.
Yeah, it's a real mature, like sign of maturity to know.
Yes, so if you're aware of it, then with practice, then it starts to work. But if you're not aware of it, then it's like the proverbial bull in the china shop. You know, no matter what you do, you bumped into that, so you step back so you don't bump into that, and you knock that over, so you turn around and then knock something. Yeah.
That's my life.
Yeah, yeah. I say so. How do you call it? Embrace it. Yeah. Okay. So this will be the thing to come up, just like we see two things here. It's both on the same principles because it's about relationship. In the same way with the queens. Right, their interaction in the conjugal way, but that doesn't attract him. It's their devotion that they use conjugal as the medium to express that's attractive. So it's just that bhakti that's attractive. And because his brother has affection and Rukmini has affection, then he has to deal in such a way that maintains that. Right? So we see various aspects of this one point of being, Atmarama. But Atmarama doesn't mean that one isn't interacting. We see is actually the more Atmarama you are, the better you can actually interact. Right? Yeah. Verses 1 to 6. The intense conjugal attraction the queens felt for Krishna. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, each of the Lord's wives gave birth to 10 sons who were not less than their father, having all his personal opulence. because each of these princes saw that Lord Achyuta never left her palace. Oh, princesses, each thought herself the Lord's favorite. These women did not understand the full truth about him, because it's not about the full truth. It's about how much is establishes the proper rasa. Right? So it's when it's a relationship to Krishna, then you don't know everything. It doesn't matter because you can't. He's unlimited, so the knowledge is unlimited. But how much you have the capacity for in the context that you're functioning in, that you, it's natural to have. But the point is, it's how much is there. So they're always with Krishna. Krishna's always with them. They don't know that he expanded into each of the palaces. And even they've heard, she's not seeing it, so it doesn't matter. He's always there. So that means he's the favorite, because there's the other queens. Why isn't he out with them? No, but he's with her. And so then she feels that she's the favorite. Right? Yes.
Like these queens, they are basically the internal potency of the Lord.
Yes.
And still, they don't understand the Lord in totality.
But so, is understanding the Lord, their internal potency, but not understanding the Lord in totality, is that a fault? Is that important?
No,
you understand? So we have to be very careful that the concept of knowledge or opulence isn't seen as the actually important thing. These are mediums to use. Its affection is actually the main thing.
Because earlier, one of the Jiva Goswami, Chakravarti Thakur, one of the two, they mentioned that in the material world, people don't understand the Lord because his position is that of aspashta, that is unclear. So that is understood. But then my understanding was that...
was there, but then the point is then how does Krishna have all these relationships? If he's the supreme Godhead, then how does he have these relationships? Does God have a mother and father?
God doesn't have, but
yes, so then God doesn't have. So then, what mood is God in? Right?
God is in the Atmaram.
There's that. That's what he's using here. But we mean, because you're talking about the knowledge. So that's Sarvagya. He knows all things, sees all things. Right? So, then... that Vaikuntha, that's the mood, because he does. He knows all, sees all. Right, because did someone come and tell Lord Vishnu that the Kumaras and Jayambijaya were having a bit of a tete-a-tete? No, right? He knew himself, and he came. You know, or he's sitting with Lakshmi, and then I'm not sure what the pastime was. Then he had to leave and go because one of his devotees was calling. I think it was Gajendra, right?
Gajendra.
Yeah. So that's Sarvagya. That's standard. Of course, he's like that. So in this way, she knows all the things also, because she explains how she creates the creation.
Mm-hmm.
Because she does all that on the Lord's behalf, but she knows what he wants, because she is Sarvagya, so therefore then she does. Right?
Yeah.
But we're in Dwarka. He has mother, father, he has sons, he has wives, he has friends, he has... Right? So does God have all that? No. Therefore, human pastimes you do. So in human pastimes, how well do those go if you know everything? Right? Not so good. Right? So therefore, then you have the element of mugdata. Means he willingly puts himself under his yoga maya to see how she arranges things. Because if he's Sarvagya, he knows this is going to come up. He could have been in the bathroom at this time when Baladev and Rukmini were together or something. You know, so he just misses the whole thing. And then when Baladev goes back to his room, then he comes out. Or when Rukmini goes to her room, then he comes out. So then the Baladev, good girl. You know, and her, you know, they could do that. But he didn't. It's arranged like this. That's how Yogamaya arranged it. Right? Because the intensity of it is the taste. For us, the intensity, we want to get rid of that because it's material. So our idea is no intensity, no interaction, no relationship. Now that's perfection, but that's called moksha. Right? And then there's devotional, which is about the absorption in Krishna. So if absorption in Krishna is nice, greater absorption is better. That's why we see when we go through the occasional thinking, regular thinking, then basically thinking, then that deepens into meditation, that deepens into to the nididhyasana, then you get to samadhi, like this, then it becomes more intense. So that means the intensity of interactions doesn't become less. But we take it, an intensity is bad. So that's the problem. We want the intensity, but we don't want the intensity. You know, like that. So, you know. So we have to be able to get over that. So then, you know, these things are brought out, and the acharyas bring out, and then, the, you know, the pleasantness, and so it's how much we can relate to. You had something? Oh, okay. Right? They did not understand, but, you know, it's just Yogamaya's arrangement. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, all the 16,108 wives of Krishna were princesses. And when each saw that Krishna was always present in her respective palace and did not leave home, she considered Krishna a hand-picked husband who was very much attached to her, right? Because that's how a woman is secure, when it appears the husband is controlled by her. But the whole thing is it should be, it appears he's controlled. He's not. He's performing his duties. And so, therefore, he appears in that way. That will give the security. But if he actually is henpecked, that also doesn't give security to women, because if she can so easily control and all that, then what's the fun? You don't know what will happen because they're so weak. You know, they don't have the ability to do something. Right? Because the point is you're controlling something that can do something. You understand? They're opposites, but that's what you have to do. That's the principle. So, the more one is Atmarama and acts within rasa, within the duty, so it appears as henpecked, that's the balance. But if it's either henpecked or Atmarama, and the two don't mix, then neither works. Because we see Krishna does this. Right? Yes?
Maharaj, he will look at Supreme Person interacting with his internal bodies.
Yes.
So obviously, it's all perfect.
Yes.
But is it what you explained previously, being handbag and Atmarama, is it possible in the material relationship?
Yes. That's how you see, how does Priyavrata act in that way? He's a Paramahamsa. So he's totally Atmarama, but he follows the duties. Because the point is you, these are the things to do, you just do them. Why don't we want to do them? Because there's so much effort. There's so much trouble. But for him, it's just a duty, so it's done. Just like managing a kingdom is trouble. It's so much easier just to sit in the forest. But because, you know, he has nothing material to gain, so he just sits in the forest. But because they've requested him to do that, therefore he takes up the kingly duties, and kings are married, so therefore then he is wife. So we see, you know, with him, and then there's a few other, these kings that are Paramahamsas. You know, I think it's in that fifth or sixth canto it mentions them. So I think it's six, because at six you're starting to discriminate about the form and the consciousness. Before, it's just you're taking it, these are the things to do and everything, connected to Krishna and all that, but then you start to see is that the thing itself is not actually the important part, it's the connection to Krishna. That'll be brought out by Prahlad Maharaj. So then it's giving so many of these emperors who had this, and even how they interact with their wives and that. I think it was one of them, Bhumati or something, like his wife, I can't remember who that was. But it brought out the detail, and it had the same kind of joking in that, like you saw with Krishna and Rukmini. So this aspect of how, you know, because otherwise you'd think it's very dry. No, but it has that aspect, but it's done from, because that's what works. Because the whole point is the element of mystique is important. So that one is Atmaram means one's not controlled, but one is controlled. One can see control, but one knows there's not. That balance always keeps it working. So it is something that can be done. That's why then, as Brahmachari Vanaprastha Sannyas, then you're dealing directly with being detached. Right? But with Grihastha, you're dealing indirectly, because you're trying to come to the same platform, but you engaging the senses. That's why it says, Krishna says, you're engaging the fire of the senses. I mean, you're engaging the senses that's being offered into the fire of the use of the senses, which the others don't do. Right? Because that's the whole point, is that you're practicing detachment through engaging the senses. Because then you actually see that it's not the engagement of the senses that gives the pleasure. It's actually the detachment You know, in other words, gyan gives more than karma, but it's bhakti that actually is the real, you know, enlivening thing. Because even renunciation is pretty boring. You know, it's like karma gets boring, renunciation gets boring, right? Karma, unless you keep doing something different, it gets boring. And even you've done everything, it still is boring, right? But gyan, you always do exactly the same thing. So it becomes boring really fast, right? So that's why without bhakti, these two actually don't find their position. So yes, it is like that. And that's the point. You won't be able to, you means by study you can tell, but it appears externally that it's not like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his wife. And he had, I think, 12 children? 14 children. Oh, okay, 13 sons. One died, I think. And then one daughter?
Yeah, one daughter.
One daughter. Okay, so that's the 14. Okay. So, because I always remember 12 sons. Okay. So, does that make some sense? So, it is. So, it's a practice that's what one's trying to do. That's why in the Grihastha Ashram, and for the Karmis, it just gets worse and worse as they go. But for the devotees, it can actually just be very pleasant. Because the more you become detached, but act as attached, then the relationship stays fresh. So all these tricks that you find in all these books and all these seminars and all that, unless this one's there, none of them will work. It's only because it's something new. Oh, it's technique, I haven't done that before. You do it, it's new. It's so therefore it has a freshness. And you go, wow, this is working. And then after 2 weeks it's not working anymore. Then you go and buy a new book. But the point is when this is there, it's always fresh, because Krishna is always fresh. So if one's Krishna conscious, then that freshness is always there. But the work remains. But it just becomes less and less of a difficulty, because we're not attached that it's about us. It's about the duties. Does that make sense? So that's why we're saying, is being Krishna conscious, being detached, seeing everything connected to Krishna, then you get all the benefits of whatever else you're doing. So the material benefits, in this case of household life, then come automatically. But if we're attached to them, then they go away. And if we're not attached to them, they're there. That's just how it works. That's how energy functions. You know, like that. The guy is, the pigeon's interested, the female pigeon moves away. It just pretends as he's not there. He's making so much noise, it's so obvious, and puffing himself, and she just picks around as if nothing's going on and all that. And he moves over, she moves over, you know, like that, and keeps doing like this until at some point she just flies off, and then he flies after. Right? But I've seen it a few times where the guy's done that for a while, you know, he's been there, then flown off in this tree, that tree, and then he's back over here, and then he just gives up and walks away, and then she chases him. Right? Because the point is the interaction is what's important. Because if she just acknowledges, it stops. So if she doesn't acknowledge, it keeps going. So if the interaction is nice, you keep it going. So that's the point, is only if one's Atmarama and performing the duties, then it works. If it's one or the other, it doesn't work. Does that make sense? So Grihastha, that's why at least for the Gaudiyas, then the Grihastha Ashram is not a problem at all for use in Krishna's service, if this is understood. And how everything's Krishna and how it connects to Krishna, so you can see that. It becomes a very easy medium. So if one's conditioned nature is comfortable in that kind of environment, then that's where you situate yourself. But if you're more comfortable not being in that environment, then you situate yourself and apply the same thing. So your Atmarama, you deal with everyone nicely. Because the point is even though it appears in this one way, basically the women know the other. Like, does that make sense? The best judges of who's a good brahmachari are the women. You give them a list of all the temple brahmacharis and tell them, you know, tick off who's good brahmacharis and this and that. No problem. They can do it, you know, 5 minutes, psh, done. The man will be, well, you know, he this, and well, you know, he gets up early, and well, he does this one and that one, you know, he, you know, like that. He always shares the hall of his steals, and you know, all these different things, you know. So then we'll go through all these, but we may or may not be able to. Women can always tell. So that's the thing, is they can sense the attraction and attachment, but at the same time they can sense the Atmarama. So if the Atmarama is there, then they put in the effort. If it's just attachment, they don't have to do anything, because it's one way. So it's only interesting if it's two ways. You're attached and you're not attached. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I say. The Vedantic secrets of ideal family life. Like that, you know. Only Paramahamsas need apply, right?
Can be used anywhere.
No, no, it wouldn't, because everyone looks for these straight. But that's just our philosophy. Right! Bingo! You know. Yeah. So that's the thing. All the various wide range of practices in a wide range of areas, that's the, what Grihastha has to apply. That's why it's more difficult. Well, for the brahmachari, it's a more limited range in a very limited environment. So it's actually, that's what makes it easier. So if someone's accustomed to that, then it's really, really simple. But if they need all that complicated, then the brahmachari life doesn't do that. So, work or...
He's just... What bothers me personally is that we don't see many examples of successful grihasthas in Krishna consciousness.
I mean, so you have those that are able to keep the marriage together, so they're doing, you know, some aspect, but this other aspect then will give that drive of the Krishna consciousness also. So you want both. So you have, means you have a lot of grihasthas, and then you have many good examples of those who are, you know, properly religious and can function together. And then you'll have those who are able to be Krishna conscious within that. So that's what you shoot for. But they are there, but it's because we put the emphasis on knowledge and skill and technique as opposed to the relationship aspect. And, you know, because we don't discuss Varnashram. So only discuss it because they're having a problem with it. But you know, those who are doing this, are they the ones mentioned? Like, I remember was in one temple, where we were discussing something, and there were some older gentlemen there, some, you know, devotees, you know, and I had the younger guys, and this, I said, why don't you talk to them? He says, well, what can we learn from them? Okay, yes, they've been married for 40 years, but they're a new bhakti, they're uninitiated. Well, I'm second initiated for the last 10 years. What can I learn from him? Even though I've only been married for 3 years. But the question is on marriage, not on going back to Godhead. But they won't ask because, oh, they're old, what do they know? You know. Somehow or another, it's like as wrinkles appear, it kind of squeezes all the intelligence out. You know? So then, you know. Like that. Yeah, I'm not sure how it works, but yeah, it seems to be the perception. Is that okay? Yeah. Good. Yeah. Okay. Every one of them thought that Krishna was a very obedient husband, but actually Krishna had no attraction for any of them. Right? This is a very important point to understand, because they, as women, performing womanly duties and all these, their womanly attraction, as will be brought up, that's not what attracts Krishna. Because that's the medium. In other words, conjugal rasa means you use the conjugal interaction as the medium to express bhakti. But it's about the bhakti, not the conjugal medium. Mother Jashoda uses the parental medium to express her bhakti. So in other words, they have attraction to that aspect of Krishna. So they use the medium that matches that attraction. But it's not about the medium. It's about the bhakti. Right? So even on the spiritual platform, then the primary is that attraction for Krishna. The secondary is the form they use. Mother Jashoda cooks, the gopis dance, all these different things. That's not what attracts Krishna. So that's why he's Atmarama. That's not that, but their devotion. That's because you see, it says he's not attracted by any of these things, and then he says, but your bhakti and this and that. So we can understand, the devotion is why he's interacting as a husband. That's why Kubja, then the devotion is very little, right? It means she's considered samanya, or general, or ordinary, right? I mean, not ordinary like here ordinary, but ordinary in the spiritual world. So, therefore, he goes to her place because he said he would. And he sits on the bed and she can, you know, make faces and do all this and that. And then he excuses himself and goes. Because it's not about the conjugal interaction. It's about the rasa. So as much as the rasa she had there, that's how much she interacted. So it has to be very, very important. Because otherwise we think, oh, if I do this or I do that, then that's the thing. No, it's the devotion in which it's done. Right? It's like that with anything. Got the, you know, we think it's the technique, right? You have a book distribution seminar. What's it going to be on? Technique. So then they show the technique. They practice the technique. You do the role models and all this and that and all that kind of jazz. And then you go out on the street and it doesn't work. And then you think the technique is bad. No, because the point is that other person distributes books because of the mood. From the mood, they develop technique. So if from technique you can catch the mood, then it has a meaning. But if you think the technique is what sells the books, it won't work at all. That might work in some specific cases, okay. But it's not that the person's impressed or, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. So, like that. So that's the whole point, is that the queens, Krishna had no attraction for any of them as women. That he's a man, they're a woman, and he's attracted. No. That he's the Lord, they're the devotees, and they're serving him in devotion. That attracts his attention. So, because they serve through the medium of conjugal rasa, he reciprocates in conjugal rasa. Yes?
So, is it a coincidence that those who that those who show the highest devotion, such as the gopis, manifest like the conjugal medium?
Is it a coincidence that the highest... No, it's that... It's the most intimate of all the things, because you're adding, right? It means each one contains all the others. See, parental rasa has that intimacy that is there. Then it also has where you care for the other person, right? The parental. It has the friendship, you know, the companionship and all that. It has the element of servitorship, and it has that aspect of appreciation. So it has all the other rasas. So each rasa, as you go, it goes deeper. So it's not a coincidence, it's just the natural, because that's the Adi Rasa, that's the original. The others expand from there. In other words, Radha and Krishna is the Rasa. And then all other Rasas are expanded from there to enhance the pastimes. If it's just Radha Krishna in a cloud with an Om sign, then, you know, how good it's going to get. You know?
So there's like a hierarchy of the mediums.
Yes. That's why there's a hierarchy, but it's about devotion, therefore we say they're all equal.
Right.
They're all equal, but there's a hierarchy. Yes.
Sometimes when we read, it seems like it's saying that one rises through the different stages of rasas.
It's just showing how the rasa works, the science of it. It doesn't mean that you go through that. Yeah. You know, one day you're in Shanta, then Dasya, and then Fred, hey! No, it's just... That's how the rasas, the science of how there are. So because everything's a science. You do this, that creates this, you know, reaction and all these different things. So there's a science there. That's why nectar devotion is that complete science of how that works. Yes?
Is it that our misunderstanding is the... We use the form as the framework as opposed to the mood as the framework, in which case
yes.
That's why it's always limited, because we stick to form as opposed to mood, which is always expanding.
Means the form is always going to change. So we're committed to acting within form, but it's the mood that you're applying, because how do you know what form to use You have to use what form matches the mood that's at present, which is based on the mood of that cooperation and working together, right? So that aspect is then what you're applying. Then there's that mood of commitment to that. That's why the brahmachari training, unless they have a commitment to a service attitude, then that can't be applied in grihastha life. Right? Because sometimes think menial service, there's two aspects. There's the service attitude, and then there is doing service. So there's the attitude of service and the application of service. So two different aspects. Like that, but that's based on authority. Right? So like this, then it works. Because otherwise, if we base this on modern concepts, it's not authority. It's just someone's mind, what they feel like at the time. And if you try to apply that, it won't work because it's not actually according to the nature of what's male and female. Only the Vedic actually deals with that. I mean, your traditions in the world, you go back, whatever's following the traditional lifestyles, they have those in it because people have been, practicing it for thousands of years. So there's some things that they understand. They don't know the science, why it works. They just know that this is what you do. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah.
So the misapplication. So our problem is that when there's misapplication, most of the time we have a tendency to adjust the form, but we won't look at the mood.
Yes, we try a different form. That's what we're saying. The techniques, the tricks. That's the whole point. Is that generally nowadays the modern seminar is always on tricks, knowledge, skills, tricks. Like that, it's not on the mood. It's not brought up because where does the mood come from? It's about sense gratification, the corporate, so it's economics, it's social, so it's prestige. And how will any of those moods help the living entity, the soul? They won't. So therefore, in that way, you can say there's zero you can take from the modern. But if you have the right attitude, know that, know how to use technique, then you can see is that, okay, this guy did that. He thought about it a long time. He caught those. They apply in certain areas. Then it just it adds to you're quicker at working out the form. But unless you already know what to deal with, those forms will not help anybody. I mean, nobody. Say what you like. You know, everyone's writing it, oh, it's so great, it changed my life. How about after 6 months? Are they saying the same thing? No. Because it worked for there, but then it gets old. Now you have to say the new, it's like, oh, how do I look? Well, you look great, it worked, right? Instead of going, how do I look? You're late, let's get going and all like that, spending so much time, then she goes back inside. No, so you still have to acknowledge she worked hard. So yeah, you look great. And so then a couple of times she does that. How do I look? Oh, you look fine. Look, and then you think, yeah, you got it down. I'm the man, right? Then she asks, oh, how do I look? Yeah, you look great. What do you like? What do you like about it? It didn't mention that in the book. I don't know what to do. So you don't even know. You're just saying. You don't actually like that. Back in the room. Right? Don't worry. Because they have the mood, they can do form unlimitedly. That's why they're females. That's what females do. They transform the form. That's the variety, is the form transform. So unless you have the mood, it won't work. And it's not a trick. It's just there are basics there, but you have the attitude. It has to have that service out. Therefore, amanina manadena. Humility, tolerance, that's what makes it work. And why? We do it because then we can chant. Because we want to be Krishna conscious. We're not just trying to make it spirit materially. So, yeah.
Maharaj, can you say, even sometimes when the mood is, when you want to express the same mood, according to the conditional nature, the technique varies?
Can be there also, because then even you want the same mood, it has to be a variety of that. Mm-hmm. So that's the point, is the energy creates variety. So it's mentioned, Radharani cooks for Krishna, never cooks the same twice. So that means it's subtle. So some may say, well, how can she cook all that? She's got to be cooking pizza. Otherwise, how does she create the variety? Yeah, you're talking about eternity, and then how many times can you throw in? Okay, so that means we can do Mexican, okay, then we can do, you know, some, what do you call it? Some, you know, southern cooking. Then we just do some mashed potatoes and, you know, whatever it is, our seitan steak. Okay, then okay, we throw in, we'll skip the British, you know, some French cooking like that. You know, then Italians, that's always good, you know, like that. And then Indian, we'll give that a miss because we're Westerners. We don't eat that stuff. And then there's Chinese, right? Indians East, we do Far East. We do West, we do Far East. We do not do East. Indian, we don't do, right? Because we're Westerners, right? Like that. And so there's Chinese, okay? Did I miss anything? Okay, so now, like that. I guess nowadays you could throw in some Lebanese, but that's Middle Eastern, okay? So that's one other cuisine. And so then, yes, and that. But then how do you get variety in that? So to say, if that's the only way you have variety, that means you don't know anything about cooking. Guaranteed. If that's your argument, it means you don't know cooking, you don't know menus, you don't know eating. You may be an enthusiast, but it doesn't mean you actually know the science. Because the point is the same prep can be cooked different every day by subtle changes. So that's the point, is you're dealing with the supreme absolute. They appreciate, so the subtlety is there. So that's the feminine energy. It's meant to bring about variety for Krishna's pleasure. So what's the problem? We think we're Krishna. So now women are for us to enjoy the pleasure, right? But so Krishna is the supreme controller. He is Atmarama, but he acts as a henpecked husband, right? We are trying to establish that we're the supreme controller, like that. And so therefore that we can't control women annoys us. We want to control rather than be controlled by. You understand? So we're using the exact opposite technique than what works. Because we're trying to establish I'm the controller and enjoyer. Well, here he's doing she's controlling and she's enjoying. Right? That's the humility, the tolerance, respecting others, not looking respect for yourself. Then you can be Krishna conscious. Right? Krishna's Krishna conscious, so it works for him. So why wouldn't it work for us? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that it's very simple, but we want the opposite. That's why we can't accept it. So we're just saying to do, Krishna's practicing human, performing human pastimes for his pleasure. We're in human pastimes, so we're just supposed to do the same things he does. Not the 16,108 wives, you know, like that. But if you can expand yourself to be in each one of them simultaneously, then go for it. But it said each one was doing different, so it wasn't the yogi who each one is doing the same thing. Right? Because then what do? They're all doing the same thing, and then this wife decides to change something like that, and then he's still doing the same thing. You know, it's not, that's going to be weird, right? She's going out to walk in the garden, and he's going and sitting down on the couch. You know, because all the other queens are watching something on the couch, right? You know, so, but she's out, I've got, you're in trouble. Right? So, that points out. So therefore, then you just deal in this whole point. The duties are there, you follow them. Krishna follows us because he likes to, because they enhance relationships. For us, we see, oh, they're restrictive. What's the whole problem we say about the Vedic culture? Oh, it's restrictive. Oh, it's fanatic. Right? No, it doesn't apply. It's, you know, it's too archaic because people don't do, you know, everything's changed. You know, people don't breathe air anymore, right? You know, they only breathe pollution. So it's so different than it was before. Does that make sense? So that's the problem, is that we don't actually understand what's Krishna conscious culture. It's given right here. You know, saying, oh, but we have to turn to these karmis for how to deal with husband and wife. It's right here. That is the key. It has many aspects to it to understand and appreciate, but that is the key. Otherwise, why would they point it out? Because they're showing he's performing human pastimes, he's happy. So the point is humans are the way they are because of just that aspect of not knowing what's going to happen. Right? Do we see Lakshmi doing anything different than sitting on it on his left knee? No. She's always just sitting there. There's no change. Because he's always God, so she's always his energy. That's it. But human pastime, then he knows everything. She knows everything, so what's to do? So, but in human, you don't know what's going to happen, how she's going to deal equally. And Narad Muni went to each palace, and each queen was doing something different, and Krishna was reciprocating with that. you know, appropriately. So that means he was doing something different. So that's why he was amazed. He's seen yogis, but he's never seen this. Right? Then you go to Vaikuntha, he's sitting there on the throne with Lakshmi, and everyone's there. You go to the next one, they're chanting Purusha Shukti, he's sitting there with Lakshmi. You go to the next one, they're chanting Purusha Shukti, he's sitting with Lakshmi. Right? But you go in Dwarka to each one's doing something totally different. One he's playing with the kids, one he's with the wife, one he's in the garden, one he's eating, one he's taking a nap. So that's the uniqueness. So that's the human pastimes. And so it's right here. But when we take this for our own, oh, this will make my marriage work. No, it's marriage is to become Krishna conscious. So I can become Krishna conscious through applying these things. So if our point is the marriage will work and I use these, then it becomes avidya. So then it may not work so good. Because it's for your enjoyment, therefore it's according to karma. Therefore, if you have the karma for it to work, it will. But if it's for Krishna, then you're working on Krishna karma. And even if you don't have the karma for it to work, it'll work. So that's the whole point, is that we're saying you can't have it, you can't have your cake and eat it. We want it. We want to have it. We want to eat it. You know, we want to take it to the fair and get a prize for it. You know, we want to be, you know, get the, you know, like this. You know, we want everything from this one cake, even though we ate it 2 weeks ago. But that's the whole point, is that, no, you can't do both. Right? Like that. That's just how energy works. So the both that you can do is the interaction, and it's about Krishna. But if it's interacting, it's about yourself, that's picked up. That doesn't work very well. Women do not like self-centered men. Mm-hmm. Absolutely don't. They can tell it the moment, the nanosecond it's there. You know, you came back from work and, oh, it was a bad day. And I really need some attention. They just ignore you like the plague. You understand? But they can tell when it's sincere, when it's got motive, all these things. So if you're a little kid, it's okay, because then it's about them. But they're in control. But here's the guy's trying to control her by being self-centered. That doesn't work. That's what women do. Right? Because if she wanted to deal with a woman, she'd deal with a woman. They're much nicer looking. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Good? Yeah?
Maharaj, you defined it as intent.
Intent. That's the whole point. So if our intent is Krishna consciousness and trying to do these things because this is what's recommended, then doing that to please Krishna, then it will work very nicely. It doesn't mean that it won't take work and effort and constant effort. It's not that once I got it down, then I can sit back. No, it's constant effort. But it's just by doing it, it becomes easier with time. But it means any skill you do to get the same quality, you still have to put in the effort. It's just easier for you to get to do that effort. But it's not that the effort goes away. That's another thing, because of ignorance. Then we think that we don't need to apply so much. It'll just happen automatically.
But it is difficult to have constantly this intent.
Yes. So that's the practice. That's why we chant Hare Krishna. We associate with those who are more advanced. We hear from Bhagavatam. Like that, because that's the. So, yeah.
Even Vedanta Sutra mentions that a husband is not dear because she loves the husband, but a husband is dear if she loves herself. So again, Krishna.
That means if she loves the self, but it also means it's who she loves. The husband's not dear; it's the self that's dear. So she's loving the husband, but actually it's Krishna. As the aspect of the universal form is the husband that she actually loves. Because otherwise it's just earth, water, fire, air, and ether. What's to love about that? You know? I mean, of course, you can be very natural and into the elements, but, you know, you can go out and have a mud bath, and it's much easier, right? Mud bath doesn't expect dinner, right? So, right? Like that. So you put on the mud. Right, you know, then you sit in the sun, the fire, then you wash it off with water, and then, afterwards the nice breeze, and then you have plenty of space, the ether. It works really well.
More economic.
More economic, yeah, so from all sides. Right? You understand? So it's that who she loving is the soul of the soul. And so the universal form is acting as the husband. And this soul then taking part in that then does the duties of that. That's the whole point, is that why do that? That's another very nice aspect, is that you're doing that because it's we're not doing. It's we're taking part. We're only instrumental. So the universal aspects of husbandness will be there, and husbandhood will be there in that particular gross and subtle form. We go along with it and do it according to the rules. Then it works out nicely. You know, if we take the Brahman and Paramatma, what we were discussing before was the Bhagavan level of why we're doing it. This is the Brahman and Paramatma level. And so like that, from all these, then the technique is on the Brahman and Paramatma. What you see is the attitude and all that. That's here. So Bhagavan is the reason that there's the attitude. The technique and the knowledge that you see is down in the upper Avidya scriptures. Because this is Icha. So Jnana and Kriya, those will be described elsewhere. But you'll get it here. You know, you just catch it, because in expressing the Icha, then you also have the Jnana and Kriya, the situation, the moods, and all those things. But it's not emphasizing those.
So can you say then the Vedanta Sutra is theory and Bhagavatam is practical, because there's so much...
Bhagavatam is theory?
No.
Vedanta Sutra is theory and Bhagavatam is practical.
Okay.
No, they're both practical. Just one is practical for through Nyaya, and the other is through the Smriti. So then the Smriti, then it's giving the example, so it makes it easier for us. Other ages, they could take the Upanishads and from that or Vedanta Sutra and understand all these truths and apply them. But it's much more sweet from the Purana and everything like that. So that's why in Kali Yuga, Purana is the prominent. But they could get the same thing from the Upanishads. Because right there, if it's about the husband, so therefore, if she's loving the husband, but it's actually the self that's the real love, that means then, so that's the devotional thing. I'm also supposed to be about the ultimate self. So that means I have to be worshiping Krishna. And since she's worshiping Krishna in the form of a husband in this way, and then we're in the role of that husband, we have to play the role according to how Krishna says we should. We don't imitate Krishna, we follow the rules that he says. Therefore, what Shastra says, we have to do. So then from that you get the same thing. Right? But it doesn't have the sweetness of that Krishna's doing this with the queens in Dwarka. That takes it to the other next level. That has the taste. The other, it will get the result, it will work nicely. You know, the Atmarama aspect will be attained. But that prema, that's going to come from the Krishna's doing that. So then for us as sadhakas, then you have the one side that we do nicely, and then you have the other side, because it's about Krishna. So it's about attaining Krishna, not about being a great grihastha. Right? Like that. If you're Krishna conscious, grihastha life goes okay. But if you just try to make grihastha life okay, it doesn't mean you'll be Krishna conscious. Son?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Sarvaita Bhaktivinoda ki, Chaitanya Gaurav. Simple.
Simple question.
Okay. We'll try to give it simple.
Simple, and I hope it won't be a question. So, I'm Grihasa. So, and as a soul, I take part in this energies serving Krishna at my home. And I find myself in a situation where I am not educated well how to behave properly, how to serve Krishna better in this capacity. Because, you know,
realize this is not a simple question. One's, you know, short sentence is a simple question.
So what should I rely upon?
Upon Krishna's mercy, of course. But it's that you want to please Krishna by pleasing his devotees. Not on the material platform, but so that is just that's your duty in this case. So therefore, if that mood, then you'll see how she's reacting, I mean, how she's dealing, and then how you deal with that, how she responds. And if it's going favorable, you continue. If it's not, you adjust. So you just adjust with the mood as it's going. Because those moods can change in nanoseconds. You know, that's the variety. Sometimes it's more stable, sometimes it's constantly changing. You know, some will be stable at one and go into the other, you know, and it won't come out. And you know, so it's always going to be different. There will never be the same reaction twice, even in the same exact situation.
So skills will be revealed by Krishna.
Yes, skills will develop, you know, as you try to, as you have the right attitude. And then you'll catch these things here. Means you'll see it. You'll see others do, and then you'll catch that. You'll see, oh, that's what they did. But you have to see, it's not the technique. It's the application of the mood. So you see the mood, then you see.
Yes.